All right, man, let's get going. Let's get going. Grab your bagel and grab a seat. All right, here we are at base camp. Let's go through our announcements. Okay, Father-Son Paintball was supposed to be this last Saturday. It's now been changed to 31 May. As Nate said last week, there was a problem on the range, and so now they pushed it back to a month. I think if you were already registered, you should have gotten a notice about that last week. I don't know if this is full or not, but if you want to go with your son, sign up. Next men's breakfast, great men's breakfast last week, thanks to tables 3 and 4, right? You guys did clean up. Thanks for being on call for that. Next month is going to be tables 5 and 6 for setup. May 31st, I think that's Memorial Day weekend. No, it's right after. It's the weekend after. Bob Hamlin's going to be talking about fatherhood. So join us for that. Upcoming schedule and key events. National Day of Prayer just around the corner in a couple of days. Be here at BCC at 7. We have the concert this weekend and then the GO conference in a couple of weeks. You'll see in my invite or my weekly email, they are looking for volunteers for that. Just click the link in the note and sign up. All right, 2-minute drill. Whence does the Caesar salad derive its moniker? From Julius Caesar, the Emperor of Rome, from Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, from Caesar Cardini, a Tijuana restaurateur, or Cesar Chavez, the civil rights activist? So make your best guess, because that's all I got on this. So how many NPR fans do we have? Probably a lot of us. It seems like most guys I know listen to NPR, at least some of the time. In which NPR radio show might you hear the expression Sonia Haney's tutu used as, oh my goodness? Is it A, Car Talk? Is it B, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me? Is it C, Planet Money, or D, Rough Translation? All right, we're in for a treat this morning. We got Jack Law is delivering our lesson. He's going to deliver a lesson on letters 26 and 27. Jack, come on up. I'm going to pray for him as we get started. Dear Lord, thank you for Jack. Thank you for bringing him here this morning. Thank you for laying the message on his heart. Now prepare our hearts to receive what you prepared him to give, Lord. And we thank you and we love you always. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark.
Is this on? Good. Hey, Mark Borowski, if you don't know him, you're missing out. If you had bagels, coffee, handouts, boxes, name tags, seats, slides, it's because of Mark. All right, he makes sure everything is ready to go at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. Nate Hodge evidently suffered a softball injury in the name of Jesus playing for C last night. So, use your hand.
How's this? Oh, Joel, I'm sorry, you had some instructions for me? Joel Bales, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know Joel Bales, you're missing out. We have special guests from all over the place. Joel from Knoxville, Tennessee, late an elder at BCC. Also, my third oldest son, Cooper, Ensign Cooper Law, visiting from Pensacola. An embarrassment of riches at the Law household when it comes to house guests this week. And that's actually going to figure in a little bit to my talk, which, as we know, it's hard to, I'm not going to hit start quite yet. As we know, it's hard to cram two letters into one session from Screwtape. We're doing 26 and 27 today. It's a lot of material, so let's go. Bring it. Letter 26, we're kicking right off the main point or the main theme of this letter, charity. And the setup here, Screwtape wants Wormwood to start sowing the seeds of domestic hatred. And so I got a little positive buzz about it before, so if you'll endure it again, I'm going to try my C.S. Lewis voice here. Note once again the admirable work of our philological arm in substituting the negative unselfishness for the enemy's positive charity. Thanks to this, you can, from the very outset, teach a man to surrender benefits, not that others may be happy in having them, but that he might be unselfish in foregoing them. That is a great point gained. So what is Screwtape talking about here? I mean, unselfishness, that's a good thing, right? In fact, some might consider it a synonym for charity. Synonym for you Marines, that's a word that means the same thing as another word. But in Screwtape's lexicon, it is not really a good thing. It's something they want to use against him. That's not what I wanted to happen. That's better. So let's look at charity versus unselfishness, or unselfishness. So charity, what we tend to think of is a benevolent goodwill. When a person is outwardly serving others, and they're motivated by fondness, passion, compassion, a desire to do good, it's just something in them that's coming out. And then let's look at unselfishness. What Screwtape is talking about here is rather a perception that one's concern for others is greater than one's concern for self. The object is more of an inward feeling of maybe righteousness or superiority. And the motivation is really our good old friend pride, a desire for recognition or maybe some kind of reward. This is the unselfishness that Screwtape is talking about. So certainly we can use unselfishness as we define it, as something that is generous. But see, Screwtape and those down below, if you remember from previous letters, they don't understand an economy where you might give something up without an expectation of something in return. And in a previous letter, Screwtape says, you know, through all of our experts, we cannot figure out why someone would do that. So they look at unselfishness as some sort of scheme, and they're going to use it. And what's the difference? Well, it's really about your motivation. Why are you sacrificing? Why? And now, recall, this is all in the context of, you know, what's going on between two young lovers, the patient and his girlfriend, probably in that phase of their relationship where they're very unselfish and very charitable towards one another. So let's evaluate our motivation. In these situations where we, maybe some of us have been around the earth or been around the sun a few more times, as Joel is fond of saying, and we're making a sacrifice, we're considering a sacrifice for our spouse or girlfriend or intimate, let's ask ourselves a few questions about this sacrifice we're going to so unselfishly make. Is it a sacrifice I don't want to make? Do I somehow feel misused in the transaction? Fine, we'll do it your way. Am I taking note of my partner's selfishness? Man, you know, she was a little quick to accept that offer on my part. I kind of wouldn't have minded if she would have put up a little resistance there and said, maybe we do it Jack's way this time. No, she just accepted it. Maybe I'm taking my note of my own unselfishness. Look how unselfish and charitable I'm being. I'm such a good guy. Aren't I a good guy? Who wouldn't want to be married to this? Well, do I now feel entitled? All right, yeah, we're going to do this. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Now I'm entitled to some happiness. We're going to get some happiness later on, right? Because I'm being so unselfish. And if you answer yes to any of these, the motivation for this sacrifice you're making may not really be charity. It may be something more that you're wanting or being dishonest about. And there's another really good test I like. Would I do it if it were anonymous? If this sacrifice I am making, if this choice I am making, this good I am doing for my spouse or, you know, or girlfriend or other intimate, if I could do this and no one would ever know but me and God, would I still do it? I find that to be a useful test. Those are the things I often end up not doing. All right, so what if I evaluate my motivation? I'm like, ooh, this isn't so good. Well, first, you got to be honest with yourself. I mean, heck, why not? God already knows what's going on inside here. And if you're holding this resentment or these ill feelings about this decision inside, you're not doing yourself any good. And guess what? You're not really doing your spouse much good either. This might be a good time for confession or supplication, maybe even a little foxhole prayer if it's in the middle of this event, is, Lord, help me find the wise path here. I'm feeling something other than altruism about this decision. I'm feeling resentment. I'm feeling misused. I'm feeling maybe now entitled. Help rid me of that. Lord, please take that away. Help me see the honest and wise path. Assume positive intent. Anyone have a problem with this other than me about assuming positive intent with your spouse sometimes? I'm here with you. If someone accepts something you give them, maybe put yourself in their shoes and think they're thinking, that's a nice guy. He just made a decision that benefits me, and I appreciate that. I confess it may not be the first thing I think. I may think, oh, well, she thinks she won this round. Assume positive intent. This might be, you know, maybe underline that on your notes pages before you throw them away on your way out the door. But this is an important thing to do in marriage. Always assume positive intent. It's a good place to start. Great opportunity to thumb your nose at screw tape. I kind of call these my going up the stairs moments. You know, I'm stomping up the stairs. I'm not really happy about just what happened. Somehow between the bottom step and the top step, I think, oh, I see what you did there, screw tape. You got me feeling unselfish. I see, oh yeah, I'm such a great guy. I'm such a catch. Nice try. I will not be unselfish today. You can't do it. You know, whether it's a type of confession or recognition, say, hey, I see what's going on in my heart here, devil. You're not going to win. Guess what? I'm going right to the Lord with this, and I'm going to lay it at his feet because I know you hate that. Follow the honest path, even if it means, yikes, talking. You might have to talk to your spouse. You might have to say something honest like, sweetheart, that thing I agreed on, I kind of need to talk about it. I don't really feel good about it, and here's why. It's not something I want to do. I was starting to feel a little entitled. Maybe in this consideration, in the first four steps we talked about here, your heart may actually have changed, where you actually, I do feel good about this. Maybe I am feeling a little unselfish, but I'm going to put that aside and consider this is something I'm doing for my spouse. Even if it costs me a little bit, I'm okay with it. Maybe your heart can change to actually a feeling of charity where something's coming out of you and you don't expect anything in return. But whichever happens, a change of heart or not, follow the honest path, talk to your spouse if required. Even Screwtape knows, if each side had been frankly contending for its own real wish, they would all have kept within the bounds of reason and courtesy. You can talk to your wife, hopefully, about things you honestly feel. Hey, I really don't feel good about this. Is there another way? Can we talk about it a little more? Somehow, and this is explained in letter 26, when we are talking about our own point of view, we tend to be more frank, courteous, and honest than we are when we somehow take up the mantle of someone else's point of view and fight for it. Oh, well, I just wanted, you seem so excited about doing that, I thought we just had to do it. Notice a little irony in the creeps into the voice sometimes. Screwtape also mentions this topic of enchantment. My eyes are definitely getting older. The enchantment of unsatisfied desire produces results which the humans can be made to mistake for the results of charity. Avail yourself of the ambiguity in the word love. Let them think they have solved by love problems they have in fact only waived or postponed under the influence of the enchantment. While it lasts, you have your chance to foment the problems in secret and render them chronic. What Screwtape is talking about here is the opportunity that Wormwood will have with these young lovers to make them think, hey, this is the way it's always going to be. We're always going to feel like this. I'm always going to be this, man, I just love this woman, just gifts and kindness and acts of service just pour out of my body, and I love it. And she's always so, her responses are always so appreciative, and I just feel so edified. She's always coming back and telling me what a great guy I am. This is awesome. All right, why are you shaking your heads out there? Come on, man. Really, y'all are you're not 32 years into a perfect marriage that feels like the first date like I am? Come on. No, I know. Sorry, Cooper, I'm going to blow it for you here. Any young unmarried guys around here? Yeah, okay, that's good. It ain't always roses and chocolates, is it, guys? Sometimes the honeymoon wears off. We have to work at it. Let's talk about that a little bit. So there's another book written by, it's a big shocker, C.S. Lewis, The Four Loves. You may have heard some of these words before. Philia was four Greek words for love that we often talk about in Christian world. Philia, brotherly love, my friend and teammate, the guys I like hanging out with because we share a common interest. It's easy, it's fun, it's no work. It doesn't get a lot of attention, although people know what it's about. These guys we like to hang with. Storge, familial love, my affection. You know what? I had an experience last night of storge. It was awesome. Bunch of guys sitting around a table, eating Rio Grande, having a sip of a nice bourbon, and just enjoying life together. Very comfortable, very just affection. My affection for these guys, it can't be measured. I hope you have guys like that. I hope you feel like that with your family. That's where it's mostly felt. And that's an easy one to, sitting with family around Christmas time is an easy one to think about. But sometimes don't forget to appreciate a band of brothers that you sit with and just think, these guys are like family to me. I'm so comfortable here. You can just go into their house and sit down and be immediately not only at ease, but peace. Agape, which we talk a lot. This is the sacrificial love. This is your ride or die. I'm going to take a bullet for you. Or, for God so agape'd the world that he sent his son to save us from our sins. Or if you've been to a wedding lately and you hear from Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind, love is all these things in a bag of chips, that's also agape. Now, agape is, according to Lewis, this is where we get this concept of charity. Things that flow out of us to help others, to make others' lives better. Eros, romantic love. So this one can get a little bit, the focus can be taken off of one of the main elements of this by the word erotic. And yes, eros does include that physical connection between a man and a woman where a physical pleasure is part of God's gift to us, for sure. And included in the Bible is the Song of Solomon. Read it. Read it with your wife. Be careful. Lewis talks, here's what Lewis says about eros. In one high bound, it has overleaped the massive wall of our selfhood. It has made appetite itself altruistic, tossed personal happiness aside as a triviality, and planted the interests of another in the center of our being. Spontaneously and without effort, we have fulfilled the law toward one person by loving our neighbor as ourselves. It is an image, a foretaste of what we must become to all if love himself rules in us without a rival. C.S. Lewis is saying this is how God loves us. His joy is our joy. When we succeed, he is happier. This is how God talks, or this is according to C.S. Lewis. This is the kind of love God loves you with, is a joyfulness. I can't wait to make this person feel better. I love this where he says, has made appetite itself altruistic. The things I want to do, those are the things that are good for you. Now, there is an element of eros, the enchantment. This is what Screwtape is talking about. This element of eros is kind of waxes. I keep hitting that, and it keeps not being the right one to hit. This element waxes and wanes. Screwtape's trying to get Wormwood to take advantage of the fact that this enchantment is happening with these young people, make them think it should be permanent. It is not we shouldn't mistake it as, eros is some kind of lower level love. It is not. It just has a couple of these elements like enchantment and physical love that kind of change over life. But its basis is a passion for someone else's well-being. I am running behind. Big shocker. Letter 27, talking about prayer. Screwtape wants Wormwood to make the patient question whether prayer is actually a worthwhile endeavor. He says, worry him with the haunting suspicion that the practice is absurd and can have no objective result. If the thing he prays for doesn't happen, then that is one more proof that petitionary prayers don't work. If it does happen, he will, of course, be able to see some of the physical causes which led up to it, and therefore it would have happened anyway. And thus, a granted prayer becomes just as good a proof as a denied one that prayers are ineffective. We do see our prayers granted and not granted. It's part of life, and we try to fit it into our own calculus. Is prayer absurd and ineffective? Does God answer prayers? That's something you might talk to a new believer about or a seeker. What is this thing about prayer? Do they get answered? Well, I have been sleeping really poorly lately. Another warning, guys, in your 40s, as you get into your 50s, somehow sleep becomes a whole different animal. I'm waking up really early lately. I prayed last night for a good night's sleep, and boy, I got one. I love it, and I'm so thankful, so thankful. So we hear, and it's some kind of tossed around, it could seem a little trite. God sometimes says yes, God sometimes says no, God sometimes says not yet. But we'll just talk a couple about these because I want to put some scripture in here, something for you to hang on the word about. Yes, sometimes God says yes. In Exodus 3, I have heard the prayers and the cries of my people Israel in bondage in Egypt, and I will set them free. Or in Matthew 8, a leper comes to Jesus and says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I am willing, be cleansed. I love that very simple transaction. It's not given as specifically a prayer, but this is, I think, a great model of prayer to Jesus who intercedes on our behalf. If you are willing, you can make this happen. Sometimes the answer is no. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about having given a thorn in his side, a tormentor from the Holy Spirit. Now, he wasn't married, so we're pretty sure he's not talking about a wife. And he prayed for this thorn to be removed. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you.
in Matthew 26, Jesus prays in the garden, Lord, God, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. God says, no. You will drink of the cup. Sometimes the answer is not yet, as in John 11. Jesus delays his travel to Bethany despite the pleadings of friends of Lazarus saying, hey, our brother Lazarus is sick. Please come. And Jesus delays several days. Lazarus dies. God had other things in mind. So what about this idea? Would it have happened anyway? And this is a great philosophical, theological discussion, really. The God who spoke the universe into existence all at once, who lives out of time, everything you're doing, everything you have done, everything you will done, he just created. He just did that. Now. Everything is now to him. Everything that has happened. It's like, boom, there it is. We think we can change his mind? He got it wrong? Hey, Lord, you're about to do this wrong. Let's not do it this way. Let's do it this my way. That's pretty bold. But, again, I have to return to Scripture. I'm an analyst, I'm a scientist, I love a good if-then statement. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, next word, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. If, then, this says to me, a prayer to God can result in changed circumstances. It's in the Bible. So what is the goal of prayer? Here are some goals I suggest for your prayers. To change circumstances, as we just talked about. Because Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us on behalf of the saints. For the prayers of the saints are lifted up in the throne room of God like a beautiful incense, like a beautiful aroma. To influence the condition of my heart, if you pray like Psalm 51, Lord, cleanse my heart. Create a new heart, a clean heart within me. To declare my reliance on God, acknowledging Him, and He will make my path straight, leaning not on my understanding. To strengthen my relationship with Christ, because I was created a workmanship of God to do good works, which He has set forward for me, praying about, completing these good works. This strengthens my relationship with Christ. This is what we're here to do. Be His workmen. Okay, Screwtape mentions distraction. Here I am distracted, right? See, it really happens, right? I see you, Screwtape. I see you, Screwtape. Nice try. You're not going to get me. This is my Bible open up to Proverbs 29. Today's the 29th. I'm doing Proverbs this month. That's a great month. I might start it over next month. Highly recommend the Offer Ember coffee mug if you like a hot cup of coffee and don't drink it real fast. Ember's a sponsor of this show. So, I read, you know, I'm kind of equating sort of prayer with reading your Bible here, and that the element of distraction can creep into both. I'm like, okay, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will say, yeah, my neck's a little sore right now. All of a sudden, I'm two-thirds of the way through the prayer or two-thirds of the way through the scripture verse, and what did I just read? I'm like, I don't remember any of those words. I get a little distracted, or I start praying. Lord, I pray for my brother Harry. You know, I know he's got a big trip coming up this week, and I just, you know what? Why didn't he call me back after that? Got distracted again. How do I respond to that? Well, Screwtape says, hey, how about you foment in your patient little guilt and frustration? That's pretty good. See if you can get him back to this prayer in sheer willpower. I envision the patient being in a more
Anglican role, he's probably got some prayers he's supposed to read. You know, make him read them. Don't worry about whether he's understanding them. Make him read them. Sheer willpower. Get through it. But maybe there's a better response. How about a little grace and humor? Ah, you got me, Screwtape. Here I am. Got me distracted. Nicely done. Nicely done. But I don't think I'm going to respond in guilt and frustration. I think I'm going to take this to God. I'm going to use his willpower. The rest of my prayer might be, Lord, help me develop some focus in my life, please. Why am I so easily distracted? Can you help me, Lord, just concentrate for a moment on my friend Harry or my brother Charles? I just need your help here, Lord. Going to the Lord like that really frustrates Screwtape. Even he knows anything, even a sin, which has the total effect of moving him close up to the enemy, makes against us in the long run. If we turn this over to God, we're doing the right thing. Holy cow, am I over time? How did that happen? Goodness gracious, let's get moving. Types of prayer. Yeah, distraction. All right. Many of you would be familiar with what we call the Acts prayers. It's a good way, it's a good solid way to start off your prayer day. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I was going to read through them, but I'm running behind. There's a couple more. There's the intercession. These are advocating for the well-being of others. There's imprecation. I didn't know what this means. Anyone else? Imprecation? Yeah, all right, cool. Imprecation's a prayer for this guy. What's this guy doing? He has the audacity to drive 55 miles an hour in the left lane. So imprecation is invoking God's wrath on evil. Okay, I'm not really thinking that guy's evil, but it'll help you remember, right? Hey, or as Christians, we're not supposed to pray for God's wrath on somebody, are we? That doesn't sound very Christian. We're supposed to pray for our enemies, give them food, water, that heaps burning coals on their head. Hey, God knows your heart. And by the way, God has given many of us the eyes to recognize an evil situation. And if your prayer starts out, Lord, if it is your will, you can hardly go wrong after. You see a situation, Lord, if it is your will, I need that man to stay away from that woman. I need intervention. I need you to smite that person. We know there's actual real evil in the world. And so I don't think we need to fear calling down God's wrath when we recognize it. Let us be careful to pray in his will. And finally, consecration, dedicating yourself or an element to God and the authority of Jesus Christ. In the Protestant church, we don't talk about prayers of consecration as much, but John Eldridge, if you go to the Wild at Heart website, has a really neat section on consecrating things to God. And I think it's a good thing to get back to. Occasionally we do. Hey, everybody show up. We're going to pray for the new children's center or playground, right? We'll show up for those things. Or back to school. Before we go back to school, we're going to go pray over Robinson High School, right? We want to consecrate this place to the Lord. You can do that with yourself. You can do that with your marriage. All right, application. How do we thwart Screwtape? We need to have good and examined motives. We need to display honesty in the choices we make, whether sacrifice or prayer. Let's be honest about them. How about some humor and grace every now and then? There is more grace in Jesus than sin in you. I like that one. And it really ticks off Screwtape when you use a little humor and grace. He can't understand grace. He gets mad at humor and he can't understand grace. What are you getting out of this? A little faith and devotion in our prayers will help too. I'd like to thank you guys for your attention this morning. I know I ran over a little bit. That just teach me, don't have a stopwatch next time. And so here are some questions. Thanks very much.